Reacher moved. He pushed off the corner of the building and looped around the Malibu's hood and got in the driver's seat. He locked the selector in first gear and put his left foot hard on the brake and his right foot on the gas. He goosed the pedal until the transmission was straining against the brake and the whole car was wound up tight and ready to launch. He kept one hand on the wheel and the other on the headlight switch. He waited. 60 seconds. 90 seconds. Then the Mazda flashed past, right to left, instantaneously, a tiny dark shape chasing a huge pool of bright light, its top down, a woman in a headscarf at the wheel, all chased in turn by tire roar and engine noise and the red flare of taillights. Then it was gone. Reacher counted one and flicked his headlights on and took his foot off the brake and stamped on the gas and shot forward and braked hard and stopped again sideways across the crown of the road. He wrenched open the door and spilled out and danced back toward the Malibu's trunk, toward the shoulder he had just left. 200 yards to his right, a big SUV was starting a panic stop. Its headlights flared yellow against the Malibu's paint, and then they nosedived into the blacktop as the truck's front suspension crushed under the force of violent braking. Huge tires howled, and the truck lost its line and slewed to its right and went into a four-wheel slide, and its near side wheels tucked under, and its high center of gravity tipped over, and its far side wheels came up in the air. Then they crashed back to earth, and the rear end fishtailed violently a full 90 degrees, and the truck snapped around and came to rest parallel with the Malibu less than 10 feet away. Stalled out and silent, the scream of stressed rubber dying away, thin drifts of moving blue smoke following it and catching it and stopping and rising all around it and billowing away into the cold night air. Reacher pulled the Iranian's Glock from his pocket and stormed the driver's door and wrenched it open and danced back and pointed the gun. In general, he was not a big fan of dramatic arrests, but he knew from long experience what worked and what didn't with shocked and unpredictable subjects. So he screamed, "Get out of the car! Get out of the car! Get out of the car!" as loud as he could, which was plenty loud. And the guy behind the wheel more or less tumbled out. And then Reacher was on him, forcing him down, flipping him, jamming him face down into the blacktop, his knee in the small of the guy's back, the Glock's muzzle hard in the back of the guy's neck, all the time screaming, "Stay down! Stay down! Stay down!" all the while watching the sky over his shoulder for more lights. There were no more lights. No one else was coming. No backup. The guy hadn't called it in. He was planning a solo enterprise, all the glory for himself. As expected, Reacher smiled. Human nature. The scene went quiet. Nothing to hear except the Malibu's patient idol. Nothing to see except 4 high beams stabbing the far shoulder. The air was full of the smell of burned rubber and hot brakes and gas and oil. The corn husker lay completely still. Hard not to, with 250 pounds on his back and a gun to his head and television images of SWAT arrests in his mind. Maybe real images. Country boys get arrested from time to time, the same as anyone else. And things had happened fast, all dark and noise and blur and panic, enough that maybe the guy hadn't really seen Reacher's face yet or recognized his description from the Duncan's warnings. Maybe the guy hadn't put 2 and 2 together. Maybe he was waiting it out like a civilian, waiting to explain to a cop that he was innocent, like people do. Which gave Reacher a minor problem. He was about to transition away from what the guy might have taken to be a legitimate law enforcement takedown, straight to what the guy was going to know for sure was a wholly illegitimate kidnap attempt. And the guy was big. 6'6", or a little more. 290, or a little more. He had on a large red football jacket and baggy jeans. His feet were the size of boats. Reacher said, "Tell me your name." The guy's chin and his lips and his nose were all jammed hard down on the blacktop. He said,
John,
like a gasp, like a grunt, just a soft expulsion of breath, quiet and indistinct.
Not Brett? Reacher asked.
No.
That's good.
Reacher shifted his weight, turned the guy's head, jammed the Glock in his ear, saw the whites of his eyes.
You know who I am?
The guy on the ground said,
I do now. You know the two things you really need to understand?
What are they?
Whoever you think you are, I'm tougher than you, and I'm more ruthless than you. You have absolutely no idea. I'm worse than your worst nightmare. You believe that?
Yes.
Really believe it? Like you believe in Mom and apple pie?
Yes.
You know what I did to your buddies?
Yes.
What did I do?
You finished them?
Correct. But here's the thing, John. I'm prepared to work with you, to save your life. We can do this if we try, but if you step half an inch out of line, I'll kill you and walk away, and I'll never think about you again, and I'll sleep like a baby the whole rest of my life. We clear on that?
Yes.
So you want to try?
Yes.
Are you thinking about some stupid move? Are you quarterbacking it right now? You're planning to wait until my attention wanders?
No.
Good answer, John. Because my attention never wanders. You ever seen someone get shot?
No.
It's not like the movies, John. Big chunks of disgusting stuff come flying out. Even a flesh wound, you never really recover. Not 100%. You get infections. You're weak and hurting forever.
Okay.
So stand up now. Reacher got up out of his crouch and moved away, pointing the gun, aiming it two-handed at arm's length for theatrical effect, tracking the guy's head, a big, pale target. First the guy went fetal for a second, and then he gathered himself and got his hands under him and jacked himself to his knees. Reacher said,
"See the yellow car? You're going to go stand next to the driver's door."
The guy said,
"Okay,"
and got to his feet, a little unsteady at first, then firmer, taller, squarer. Reacher said,
"Feeling good now, John?
Feeling brave?
Getting ready?
Going to rush over and get me?"
The guy said,
"No."
"Good answer, John. I'll put a double tap in you before you move the first muscle.
Believe me, I've done it before. I used to get paid to do it. I'm very good at it.
So move over to the yellow car and stand next to the driver's door."
Reacher tracked him all the way around the Malibu's hood. The driver's door was still open. Reacher had left it that way for the sake of a speedy exit. The guy stood in its angle. Reacher aimed the gun across the roof of the car and opened the passenger door. The two men stood there, one on each side, both doors open like little wings.
Reacher said, "Now get in."
The guy ducked and bent and slid into the seat. Reacher backed off a step and aimed the gun down inside the car, a low trajectory straight at the guy's hips and thighs. He said,
"Don't touch the wheel. Don't touch the pedals. Don't put your seatbelt on."
The guy sat still with his hands in his lap. Reacher said,
"Now close your door."
The guy closed his door. Reacher asked,
"Feeling heroic yet, John?"
The guy said,
"No."
"Good answer, my friend. We can do this. Just remember, the Chevrolet Malibu is an okay, mid-range product, especially for Detroit. but it doesn't accelerate for shit. Not like a bullet, anyway. This gun of mine is full of 9mm parabellums. They come out of the barrel doing 900 miles an hour. Think a four-cylinder GM motor can outrun that?
No.
Good, John, Reacher said. I'm glad to see all that education didn't go to waste. Then he looked up across the roof of the car, and he saw light in the mist to the south. A high, hemispherical glow, trembling a little, bouncing, weakening and strengthening and weakening again, very white, almost blue. A car coming north toward him, pretty fast.